You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it impacts you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now: a shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/givetech. After a high drama week, a look at where Silicon Valley investors are and aren't placing their bets. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. It's the Friday after Thanksgiving, and there are a host of news leftovers for us to dig into on our Week in Review show, Marketplace Tech Bites. It was a pretty rocky week for Sam Altman, but all is well that ends well. Altman is returning to his position as CEO at OpenAI after its board fired him, and following a huge uproar by the company's staff and several prominent players in tech. The C-suite drama there overshadowed another high-profile departure, that of Kyle Vogt, now former CEO of the driverless tech startup Cruise. This after the company's license to operate in California was suspended following a series of traffic collisions and accidents, one of which involved a woman dragged by a Cruise vehicle after it hit her. The startup shakeup got us wondering how venture capitalists are going to invest their money in the near future. And to help us, we asked Jewel Burke-Solomon, managing partner at Collab Capital, for her take on those stories, starting with OpenAI's intense few days.
Well, it's honestly very unclear at this point still what was the main reason as to why Sam Altman was fired in what was a huge shocker to so many in the tech industry and apparently to Sam himself and the other staff and leaders at OpenAI. There's been talk around transparency and decision-making, communication. But now it seems that there was enough of a sort of uproar from OpenAI employees, 95% of them signing a letter to say that they would also leave if Sam wasn't brought back. And it seems that, you know, the company has come to a decision to bring him back along with a new board. So there's going to be, you know, a big change and shift potentially as far as how the company is operating with that new board in place. But this is still, you know, an unfolding situation that I think everyone is, you know, glued to see what happens next.
Yeah, it really is. For a couple of days, it looked like he was set to go over to Microsoft and start a new AI research lab there. But Altman tweeting/posting that he made this move back to OpenAI with the support of Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft. I'm wondering, where do you think this leaves Microsoft, which of course is a big investor in OpenAI?
Huge investor, $13 billion into OpenAI. And I think, you know, they were obviously wanting to take advantage of any motion that was happening related to Sam Altman, making him an offer on Sunday, I believe it was, to join them. But it sounds like Satya is also supportive of the move of Sam back to OpenAI. So there is a very tight relationship between Microsoft and OpenAI. It seems that they will continue to have that given the, you know, deep investment that Microsoft has made into OpenAI. Remains to be seen if perhaps that last board seat that hasn't been named maybe will go to a Microsoft team member executive. You know, for all of us outsiders looking in, there should be, to a certain extent, perhaps some level of governance overhaul and change. And maybe Microsoft will take a step in there. We'll see. But certainly, you know, a very close relationship between those parties.
Yeah. And, you know, the old board, as you alluded to, had cited doubts about Sam Altman's ability to lead this company. This really seemed to boil down to a battle between safety and scale/commercialization of this technology. Has the balance shifted to one side with Altman coming back?
We'll see. You know, there is this interesting nonprofit versus profit conversation in terms of how OpenAI was initially started. A lot of people maybe don't know this, but OpenAI has been around since 2015 and was initially started as a nonprofit, really with this idea that there needed to be more openness and transparency around development of these large language models and AI. And now that there has been such commercial success for ChatGPT, and sounds like there has been internal tension around where developers should be spending time and, you know, where the company should be focusing, we'll see, where does it actually land? Is it going to go more toward the for-profit pathway and the roadmap around the for-profit development, or is it going to be stay where it is as a nonprofit? We'll see what happens there. But I think there's always going to be, and this is a really interesting structure that they've had with a nonprofit kind of overlay on top of a for-profit entity. But because of the commercial success, you know, there is that tension there between those worlds.
No doubt we will, as we come up on the 1 year anniversary of ChatGPT's release to the public. Can't believe it's been just a year. And I love this, before we move on, someone joking on X that we all just witnessed the equivalent of three seasons of Succession. This was tweeted, by the way, before Sam Altman came back. So I think we're up to season four or maybe even five at this point.
Yes.
Well, fair to say all of this overshadowed another pretty big tech story this week, and that is trouble at Cruise, our second story. The driverless car subsidiary of General Motors, CEO Kyle Vogt resigning this past week. Jewel, Cruise had like one really good week this year. This was a couple of months ago when the CPUC, that's the California Public Utilities Commission, let them expand their driverless taxi service in San Francisco. And then the steady slide began for this company pretty much right away. Where do you think Cruise goes from here? Is there a future for this company?
I believe there is a future for this company and for driverless vehicles more broadly. But I think that it has to take a major setback and a slowdown, perhaps, in terms of its compliance, its regulation. I think the regulators are looking very deeply into the operations and, again, the transparency of this company. Overall, what we're seeing is the big vision for autonomous vehicles was around and is around safety. But if there are these major and unfortunate accidents that have happened, you know, there has to be a really deep look and step back to make sure that we are on the right path with this company and all others that are focused in this area.
Right. And there were several mishaps involving these Cruise vehicles over the last couple of months. But the turning point really came in October, when a Cruise vehicle ran over and dragged a woman for several feet. Regulators say that Cruise omitted footage from that incident, but there's some dispute over that from the company. They did end up making Cruise stop operations here in California. And then 2 days later, we see Cruise itself pausing driverless operations across the country. We'll be right back with more of our week in review, including what the implosion at Cruise means for GM. You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it impacts you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now: a shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/givetech.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. We're back with Jewel Burke Solomon of Collab Capital. We have to talk about General Motors and what this means for Mary Barra and her company. This subsidiary was supposed to be a really important growth driver for GM.
Yeah, it was. And they're obviously going to have to take another look to see what can they do to, one, make sure that the company is compliant and taking care of all of the regulatory questions that are out there looming. And yeah, what is the future of Cruise under GM look like? Can they keep moving forward, or are they going to have to look for potential other growth strategies to meet the numbers that they have to meet?
Well, not long ago, there were all kinds of companies piling into driverless car tech. Not many made it. And Cruise until recently was seen as one of the survivors. We shall see where things land for them. But worth noting, too, AV tech was once a huge target for venture capitalists, which brings us to our third and final story. We want to know, where is that VC money flowing now? Jewel, what are you seeing?
Well, the reality is it's been pretty slow across all industries except AI and, you know, industries like driverless vehicles as of late. There's actually been a boost in Silicon Valley as it relates to capital flowing, but you have to look at that from a macro picture of 40% down this year for venture capital investments. So yes, there have been more investments happening in Silicon Valley, but across the board, much lower deployment from VC firms like mine into new technologies. And I think that is a symptom of the larger macro story that we've seen, which is that it's been a rocky year in the markets. And so you're seeing a lot of venture capital firms sit on dry powder and really being cautious in pretty much across the board, with the exception of new companies that are building in AI.
That's right. This is huge. And here in the Bay Area, my conversations with people in the tech community have made it very clear. Folks here are very keen to keep the money here, to keep this as the focal point as AI flourishes. We are seeing a notable pullback in VC investments in crypto. Got to ask you about the founder of Binance, CZ as he is known, pleading guilty to violating money laundering rules. So we now have him, and we now have Sam Bankman-Fried, the Justice Department, having a very good month in terms of kind of cracking down. These are the two, at one point, the guys running the two biggest crypto exchanges in the world. How do you think VCs are going to be looking at crypto going forward?
Crypto has certainly fallen out of favor with many VCs that I know and have been talking to. For many VCs, we weren't able to invest in crypto companies because, depending on who our limited partners are, there's different regulations. And I think many of us who didn't get into investing in crypto are breathing a sigh of relief right now. But it is unfortunate to see that there have been so many billions of dollars that have gone into these spaces and not great leadership on the part of the folks that are leading these major companies in the space. And, you know, we're seeing that with $4.3 billion is what Binance has had to pay to the U.S. government. Lots happening in this space. This was a very active week across the board in technology, and we'll watch and see what happens for the future of crypto.
That was Jewel Burke-Solomon at Collab Capital. Jesus Alvarado, Rosie Hughes, and Daniel Shin produce our show. Becca Weinman is our engineer. Daisy Palacios is our senior producer. Kelly Silvera is our executive producer. I'm Lily Jamali, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.